Welcome to today's Kuinua podcast. Today we've got Alex with us talking about repurposing your content. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review.
Welcome to the podcast today, everybody. We've got Alexandra on the line. How are you doing, Alexandra?
I am doing quite well, thank you. How about you?
I'm really good, thank you. Would you like to give our listeners a little bit of a background of what you do and how you kind of got there and that sort of thing?
Okay, so what I do presently is that I help woo biz owners, so like spiritual business owners, repurpose and reimagine their content to enhance their visibility. Mm-hmm. And how I got there, so their online visibility, how I got there. There's a lot of story to that, but I will try to make it as short and concise as possible. So before doing what I'm doing now, I was a virtual assistant, and I only did it, I was a freelancer. So I did a couple of gigs on the side while I was in grad school. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed being a virtual assistant to entrepreneurs, but specifically women who were in my field. So I was studying social work and human sexuality. And so I was assisting them with a lot of online research. Some of them were writing books. So finding peer-reviewed documents for them. And some of them was doing event planning and stuff of that nature. And afterwards, one of my friends, she used to teach on law of attraction. She asked me to go over her content, basically. She had, years of written blog posts that she has done. And she's like, I don't have the time to go over it all. So can you go over it all and just find me all the evergreen stuff I can use so I can rebuild my platform? And that was the first time, someone came and asked me that. Usually they would come for me just for like back end business stuff, administration stuff. And so I'm like, sure, sounds fun. Let's do it. And I absolutely loved it. It was an amazing process to really what it's about is curating her own content based on what was evergreen, based on what was most relevant to the audience she wanted to speak to. And then I got into social media after that, started writing posts for other entrepreneurs, became a social media manager. And then I'm like, you know what? What I really love the most is content repurposing and what I had done for my friends. So I'm just going to specialize in that. And this is where I am right now.
So when you started off as a VA, what kind of journey did you have with that? Were you kind of a specialized one or a generalized one? And then did you kind of figure out your strengths and say, I want to go into this new area? And how did you find the journey kind of becoming an entrepreneur in that way?
So when I started in the VA world, it was really someone who suggested me to do that, because I had done many different, how could I say? I've tried different things as far as freelancing online, and I wasn't really looking to be an entrepreneur, really. I already had my career in mind where I wanted to go, and I was focused on that, but I enjoyed like doing other stuff on the side that will allow me to make some extra money. So, I've been on Fiverr where I was creating personalized poetry for people. I at some point wanted to start a t-shirt business, and like I've tried different types of gigs that I would find on Craigslist that I found interesting. So I did a lot of that, and then I had paused at some time. And when I was in grad school, I was like, I need to make extra money. And my friend was like, why don't you try being a VA? And I'm like, I don't know what that is. Like, what do I do? So I started with, because I had done, I was a research assistant as I was going through like my schooling. I'm like, okay, well, I'm really good with research. So let me start there and offer that as something I could do for other entrepreneurs who are in my field, like I mentioned earlier, who are social workers, who are therapists within the field of human sexuality, like sexologists. Let me serve those people and see what they need. And, you know, I'll figure out if what they need is something I can do for them.
And what do you think your kind of biggest challenge has been along the way?
Sticking to one thing. sticking to one thing and not paying attention to myself and what I truly desire to do. Because in doing these different gigs and wanting to start a t-shirt business, and even in focusing on a niche, like really niching down on what I wanted to do when I was a VA, I listened too much to other people's opinion, and it got me discouraged a lot of times where, you know, I would give up on something I had started. And even if I really had the high, I was really into it. I wanted to make it happen, even though I didn't know how. I would stop whenever a challenge would come up or someone said and it usually was someone who was close to me, either a friend or a family member that would say something to me that, you know, wasn't like as encouraging as I would want it to be. I would give up instead of just saying, you know what, that's their opinion. Yeah. Has nothing to do with what I want to try, what I want to achieve. So let me continue doing that. But instead, I kind of like, I just gave up. And that's something I had learned to stop doing in order to really reach my goals with where I am now. So, yeah.
What is the what's the philosophy behind your current business?
Yeah. So it is your business, and therefore your content is an extension of you. Mm-hmm. And that I had made that kind of like the foundation of my business and how I go about serving clients, because I like to say that your content is your representative. Mm-hmm. And that everything you put out is really a reflection of where you are, what you know, a reflection of your beliefs and your values that you're putting out to share your message and for people to really get to know you. And so sometimes what happens is people try to put on a persona of what they think they should be online, or what they think business owners should sound like, look like, what a coach should sound like and look like, and not being aware that, you know, this is having that persona that you're creating that's not really you is attracting also people that probably you don't even want to really work with. Mm-hmm. And so shedding that persona and really working on putting out content that represents how you speak, how you want to deliver your message, really about who you are is going to be really freeing and yeah, and enjoyable. It's going to be enjoyable to put out content when you're in that space of being yourself, and you'll find that you'll develop your voice as well at the same time. There are many like beautiful goodies that come from doing it that way. And so yeah, that's kind of the philosophy of my.
So when we're talking about this kind of social media profile, and we're talking about people maybe not being themselves, I think that's a really, really hard thing, especially in today's world, and especially on social media, because when we try and be authentic, it might be that we think we're not, you know, energetic enough or motivated mm-hmm. enough, or we've not, you know, we're not doing enough content, or we're doing too much content. And it's really hard to know how to really be your authentic self and to attract people in that way. Have you got any advice for listeners about that?
You know what? For something like that, it's really a discovery. Because especially if you're not in the habit of doing this, of really putting out content consistently, and I do want to address that idea of consistency also. Mm-hmm. And it's something that you develop. You have to get messy with it. You try and you see what works. You see if you feel good about like expressing what you wanted to express in a certain manner. You learn how to get comfortable by going through the discomfort. Because what tends to happen is that, like I was talking to you about my issue where I used to like rely too much on other people's opinion. And that's why I never fulfilled to the extent I wanted to some of the business endeavors I had in the past. Mm-hmm. And that's the same thing that goes along with putting out content, that stuff like our limiting beliefs in our mindsets start to arise. And after we freeze, we're like, oh, should I say this? Is this too controversial? Or maybe like you were mentioning, like maybe I really need to be hyped up and super energized and really in your face in order to make this work, in order for people to want to work with me. Mm. But you really don't. And especially if people see you in person or like through a Zoom call or anything, and you have a client, and it's like they're used to seeing this energetic person. And really, when they come face to face via Zoom, you're really this, you know, maybe you're a little calm, you're a little soft spoken. And it's like, whoa, what just happened here? That's not the type of, you know, person I hired to work with. So, yeah, it's really being bold and shutting off the noise, not comparing yourself to others. And you could model, but don't try to imitate others as far as like how they talk or how they put out content. And of course, you know, there's certain things you might like that another entrepreneur does, but use it as inspiration, not as an indicator that is something you have to do, which is a difference that is, you know, important to realize.
So with content repurposing, what is it and how does it work and how would someone use it?
Okay. All right. Lovely. So the common definition of, you know, repurposing is really about you have a long form copy or you have a lengthy video and you chop it off into pieces and you share it on different platforms. That's just one aspect of it. But me, as a content repurposing artist, I like to take it up a notch where I invite the field of reimagination into the picture, because what I do is that you can repurpose and have only one platform. You can repurpose and just have a Facebook profile.
Mm-hmm.
And with that it's really about seeing how to play, how you can play with your content, how you can transform it, how you can bring new awareness and perspective to it. And what that does with the aspect of reimagining is that it gives your audience different access points to your work, because you can, and I'll just give a personal example, is how I found my spiritual teacher. I was at a time where, you know, I wanted to learn more about business. And at the time I found her, she was posting stuff about business. And that's how I decided, you know, to join her program. But she is a master metaphysician. She is she calls herself the feminine alchemist. I never knew that. When I decided to join her program, I would be learning how to embody my femininity. And that would be the primary thing I would be doing in working with her and, you know, following her teachings. But it was because of her content on business and where I was at the time in my life. And it was, you know, business and femininity, and where I was at the time in my life, that, you know, I decided, oh, let me join her program. Let me enter her body of work. Other people, it was because of relationships. And at the time she was posting content about relationship polarity and feminine and the masculine. And that's how they discovered her work. And so when you repurpose, you're not just, you don't want to do just the cookie cutter way. You really want to give some intention. You really want to be intentional with how you repurpose it, with the aspect of reimagining, which really allows you to share different ways of talking about your message and, you know, what's beneficial to your audience, what's beneficial and relevant to them, what really matters to them, and looking at the different ways you can address that so it speaks to them.
You're listening to the Kuno Coaching Podcast. We're going to a break now. If you're enjoying this podcast, don't forget to subscribe. Kuno Coaching is set up to offer mentoring, coaching and courses in leadership, negotiation and soft skills. If you're interested in finding out what Kuno Coaching has to offer, you can get in touch via Facebook, Instagram. We've got a YouTube that you can comment on. You can leave a message on Anchor, or you can just type Kuno and find us, or email kunocoaching@gmail.com. We are back.
So when you talk about content repurposing, and kind of, because I've been kind of thinking about this recently, how mm-hmm. do you go about taking content, like technically, and then kind of splitting it and figuring out how to split it up, and then if you're going to put it in another context, how you do that? Have you got any examples of that?
Okay, so let's do, because I spend so much time on Facebook, let's say you have a long form copy. You will look over it and see, pick out, sometimes, you know, in your long form copy, you can find quotes. Mm-hmm. And that's one way you can repurpose it, is just taking that one line in your copy and make it a quote. Now, if you want to take that up a notch, instead of just posting a quote, you could post that quote and elaborate on the meaning of that quote in the description section of, you know, when you post your content, an image on Facebook. And it doesn't necessarily need to be related to the original long form copy you created. Mm-hmm. So for instance, if you created a long form copy on, let's see, a law of attraction, okay, you talked about law of attraction, and you have this amazing line that you said, and it's law of attraction and finding your career, your dream career. Okay, mm-hmm. You have an amazing line. You transform it into a quote. But instead of just talking about how to use law of attraction to manifest your dream career, you could define that quote as to how to use law of attraction in order to get an advance in the dream career that you already have. Now you're addressing another aspect of something that's still relevant to, which is being in your dream career. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, that sounds really interesting, because I think we've all got a lot of content. So being able to not even just reuse it and regurgitate it, but make it mm-hmm. into something new and not take a lot of time is just such a really good thing for, you know, entrepreneurs on social media.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you could even you make that into a video. And what happens is when you repurpose in that way, where you are not just copy pasting what was mentioned, is that it helps you with your content creation, which is something that I'm seeing a lot of entrepreneurs have blockages with. You know, they want to always stay be inspired, and they, you know, they want to batch content and always have something to say, and sometimes it's just become overwhelming because they don't have a system that will support them in doing that, and they also don't know how to really repurpose in a way that will be of benefit to them.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the entrepreneur's worst nightmare, because you can kind of, you know, look at the post that you're trying to put up and say, did I put this picture up 5 months ago or 2 weeks ago? Or what is this picture and what am I doing and why have I got 5,000 posts this week? And, you know, I think it's very hard to stay on top of it, even if you've got things like, you know, a content creator and you can get the mm-hmm. nice pictures, and then you've got, you know, you can schedule everything to pop up. It's still really hard to know what the balances mm-hmm. are and to keep on creating, you know, new inspiring stuff. And then you kind of wonder, well, does anybody care, you know, because then you mm-hmm. need to get people engaging with this content as well, and that's just as hard.
Yeah, no, I absolutely and I think because, you know, attention is like the biggest thing right now. And there's this really push to like put out content. And I understand that. Like, I put out content every single day. But what I really want to tell people behind this idea of consistency is to be really careful with that so that it doesn't burn yourself out. Now, recently I had like put out a post, and I'm like, you know, consistency doesn't mean daily. And I say, and there's nuances in that. I say that because you really have to take a good look at your life. What do you prioritize? What are your responsibilities? What are you committed to? And where do you want to go? If you have not set up the space, created the space for the task of creating content, which is why we have, you know, content creators, because it does take time, it does take up energy to do something like that, then you shouldn't force yourself to try to post daily and equate that to being consistent.
Mm-hmm.
So if I go into like the etymology of consistency, it's really the state of being in agreement or harmony with something. When you are in agreement with something, then you have made a decision. When you are in a harmony, then it's an alignment. There's no tension there. So when, if you want to be consistent with your content, you really have to decide and commit to a frequency that you are, you see yourself able and willing to do, and repeat that frequency until or if it changes, if your commitment changes. So say I decide that I want to post on my Facebook every other day, twice a day. Mm-hmm. Then that's, once you repeat that, then that's what you would, that's what consistency would be. It's just repeating that, posting every other day, twice a day. If you have a blog and you say, you know, my capacity is to put out a blog post twice a week, well, every week, repeat that frequency, which is twice a week. Now, sometimes, you know, entrepreneurs, they have their business coaches and their business coaches, or they have a content marketing coach they work with, and that person is telling them, you know what, you need to post at XYZ frequency. Mm. Now you have to think, well, do I want to achieve the goal that I'm looking to achieve? Because this is what my coach is saying that I have to do in order to get to where I want to be with my business and my content goals. So that's a decision you're going to have to make and reorganize your priorities, reorganize your schedule in order to create the space to do what your coach told you to do, so you could get the goal, so you could achieve the goal that you're looking to achieve. So it's not, there's no one rule for this. You really have to be aware of yourself, of your life, and what's important to you, and make a decision from there.
Is there a kind of, is there any advice you could give to people about if they wanted to encourage engagement with their content? Because I think that's something that people that are just starting off have one of the biggest issues with, just trying to get people to engage and you know, talk in groups or interact with the content.
So that's a lot of there's a lot of play into that, figuring out, because you have to figure out what type of content are of interest to others, especially if you're just starting out. And that's where, you know, developing your voice and just putting out content, trying out and auditing your content, like at the end of the week, seeing, you know, what made, like what type of engagement, if you had likes or comments, and noticing that, and, you know, repeating that content that really got engagement, sharing it in, or maybe elaborate on it. It's an experience. You have to put out content, observe, and then repeat again, and just go to that, repeat that process of like observing and trying out things until you have kind of like a formula of what works. And at the same time, you're not just putting out content, you're also networking yourself. So engaging in other people's groups, engaging on people of interest that you, you know, you might want to have as an audience or a client, engaging in the stuff that they do too, so you can be seen. There's also those aspects to take in consideration. And yeah, because you might, you know, you might prefer podcasts rather than being on Facebook. So you might switch to doing more podcasts. And so your audience are going to be more people who are listeners than maybe than readers. And if you enjoy that Facebook platform, you want to write more, you want to do more like live videos and long form posts and play with images and develop your brand in that way.
I think that's really, really good advice for our listeners. I think it's really key to kind of figure out who you are authentically and find that voice and be able to, you know, because it's like you said earlier, if you pretend to be something that you're not, you attract a lot of people, you know, you might attract a lot of people, but you wouldn't be attracting the people that are interested in your particular stuff. And I think even sometimes when you attract people that say that they're interested in what it is that you're doing, they're still not interested in what you're doing, which is a bit odd. And I've found that about social media, and I'm not really entirely sure what that's about.
That's interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like sometimes, and I've heard like some of my friends, we talk, they have their own businesses and stuff, and they're like, yeah, like this other person reached out to me, and it's almost like they're, and I don't know if that's exactly what you were referring to, but they're almost trying to get free information instead of wanting to make the investment in the program that they are offering. And so, you know, they will go on your profile and comment and stuff like that and ask questions in your messenger and almost trying to get coaching from there. And every time you say, but hey, I have, you know, I have this program, it's going to really help you with what you're talking about. There's always a delay of, oh, I have to think about it and I have to, let me get back to you on that. But yet they're still in your sphere, so to speak.
Yeah. Or they sit in a group and they don't say anything.
Yeah.
Or they message you lots of stuff that's probably not relevant to anything, or they try and video call you all the time. And you're like, how am I supposed to find my audience when there's people like this behaving in this manner?
Yes, yes. And I think a part of that is learning how to set boundaries. And it's really, I want to be careful with that word, boundaries. But it's really about yourself and being loyal to yourself. Like if someone is constantly in your inbox and you already know they're not a client, they're not even a potential client, then you have the option, Facebook has created the option for you to either unfriend them, block them, or just tell them one time, it doesn't seem like you're a good fit for me or something along those lines, and refer them to someone else or just say, you know, thank you for contacting me, but it doesn't seem like it's a good fit for me. And if they continue, you could block them and you don't need to respond back to them.
So that's interesting. So if you're on Facebook and people are adding you kind of, you know, maybe a little bit, you know, all over the place, and you've got people on there that aren't really, you know, doing anything, or they're, you know, they're not really fitting into who you are. Is it that you should really check out the people that try and add you and decide if you should be friends with them or add them to your page? Or is it that you should kind of give them a chance and then maybe, you know, if they're not, you know, being that type of ideal client, then maybe just kick them out?
Is that, are you referring to like groups or your profile page?
I think I'd like to know for both, for like the profile page and like a page that you've maybe set up to talk about a particular thing.
So, okay. So I can't speak about groups because I don't facilitate a group, but I will say about, because I don't use my profile page anymore. I'm really focused on my profile because I see that there's more engagement there than on the page. So I add people. I add people, people add me. And sometimes I see the people that are adding me, or even the people that I add that are not necessarily would be an ideal client. I just like their vibe. I just like what they put out. And it's like, you know what, this is a nice person to have in my circle of Facebook friends. And you never know who they know at the same time is something to take in consideration. And when I was talking about, you know, blocking or not responding or unfriending, it's really about the people who who send you a message and that, and maybe like they're constantly pushing or constantly asking you questions, but have no interest in your work and in your program. At certain point, you have to stop directing your energy towards them, because now it's just becoming almost like you're just entertaining them at this point. So if you know, if they've contacted you several times and have no interest, you don't need to respond to them, or you just respond to them in a way that to understand that, hey, all the stuff that you're telling me that you need help with and that you're wondering are in my program. If you're not interested in investing, then, you know, I'm sorry, there's nothing else I can do. Or you could just follow up on some of the things I share on my profile. That's kind of, you kind of have to set the bar there so that you don't put in all your energy in someone who is clearly, like, you know, clearly they have no interest in really working with me. And that's the only thing. And even like people who are comment, like there's no issue unless someone comments something on your profile that's truly inappropriate. I mean, you don't need to keep their comment there. It's your wall, it's your profile. You do whatever you want there. So delete their comment if you found that it was inappropriate. Unfriend them if you found that you don't really like the type of energy they're putting out. And yeah, it's your space. Basically, I'm saying do whatever you want. It's your space. If it doesn't set up to your standards, if it doesn't set up to like the kind of digital environment that you want to have, then take the action that you think would be best for you.
Okay, that's a different way of looking at this, I think, because most people think, well, you know, this is everybody else's page, and I need to let everybody keep posting so that we can encourage engagement and all this stuff. And if I delete someone, someone will know, and then everyone will stop following me. And it's, you know, it's kind of hard to get out of that.
Yeah. I remember when I was in that. And so, but I promise you, it is the most freeing thing when you're like, no, this is like my home. This is my digital home. And I decide how, like, I want to run things. That's it. The same way, like, someone comes into your house, there's a certain, you know, way of, you know, being polite and how they engage with you in your home that you would expect them to have. And it wouldn't be acceptable if, you know, they said something rude or like put their feet up on your kitchen, on your on the kitchen table. You'll be like, what is happening here? That is unacceptable. So your profile is like your digital home. Like, you know, you can't just, yes, engage and let's have fun engaging and stuff like that. But I don't really need your negativity or your rudeness or in that space that is mine.
Do you use a page or do you use your profile?
I use my profile right now. I don't use my page anymore just because there's not enough people on the page. It's not enough engagement. I find that I network better through my profile page. So I just, my Facebook profile rather than my business page. So I kind of just, it's there, it's unpublished, it's still there, but I just don't use it.
And so what is your ideal client that you would want to work with your services?
Oh, okay. I would really love to work with people who are in the personal development, metaphysic type of field. So example, law of attraction coaches, spiritual leaders, transformation coaches, intuitive healers who have been in business about like 5 years, but have at least 2 years worth of content. So I could really help them leverage that for their business marketing and help them repurpose and reimagine it. That would be my ideal client.
So we're coming up to the end of the interview. Would you like to tell everybody where they can find you on the internet?
Well, the best place to find me is really on my Facebook profile, which is Alexandra Montfort. So Alexandra Montfort is Montfort, M-O-N-T-F-O-R-T. I am the content whisperer, so you'll see it on my Facebook cover picture. It's going to be because I think there's other Alexandra Montfort. So, or my link, actually the link to my Facebook profile is facebook.com/Alexandra.Montfort.73. So that I guess that's going to be easier for people to reach out to me with that.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. It's been such an interesting discussion. I always learn so much from everybody on these interviews.
Thank you so much for having me. This was fun.
You've been listening to the Kuno Coaching Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and check out our other amazing guests and interviews, and leave us a review.